tag team action on Trib Live Radio. In this corner, the reigning team of Ken Laird and Guy Junker.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
And now the up-and-coming challengers, Tim Benz and Josh Taylor. It's a four-man booth on Trib Live Radio.
This is a classic Jagoff of the Week finish here today. It was really tight among five candidates. Let me tidy up a few final ones. Anastasia says, finally, the voice of reason is on the air, Josh Taylor. I agree with him for voting for Louisville. So we'll give Josh some props and the vote. Brian in South Beach says, jag on to Columbus for hiring Torts. We needed this guy in the NHL for idiotic comments. It wasn't the same without him. Give me Pagano for Jagoff of the Week.
Another one for Tim.
And Tortorella gets one, though, from Jeff in Columbus. He says, I should get two votes since I live here and now I have to listen to this guy daily. Fire up the band here, Josh.
Happy Torts Day. It's a lot more easier to listen to than Todd Richards, that's for sure.
Why is this not a holiday? Why is this not Happy Torts Day? It should be a holiday.
We got votes today for me and Tim, for the NCAA, for the Toronto NHL refs, for people that are too sensitive about Penn State, mostly sensitive Penn State fans, for Fred Jackson, for Lamar Odom, for the Cubs organization, for Neil Huntington, for Ditka for the fart, for Narduzzi.
Did he only get one for the fart? That just fart was worth at least two.
For the NFL for finding Cam Hayward, for the lady outside Consol that knocked over a light pole and hit a cop.
Oh, jeez.
We had a four-way tie for second place. Four-way tie.
Wow.
Between Louisville and Rick Pitino, Mike Tomlin, Chuck Pagano, and Antonio Brown. But the winner, and welcome back to the National Hockey League, John Tortorella Torts is the Jagoff of the Week here on Trib Live Radio.
He didn't do anything but get hired.
Well, that's it.
That's all it takes.
He should have the common decency to not re-enter the league.
He did it perfect timing on
all
Wednesday.
All these other
Jagoff of the Week day
moves, and all the guy does is get hired and gets voted.
You're telling me this wasn't calculated on his part?
He gets voted every week for doing nothing.
It was like 9:59 a.m. the announcement came through. It was total Jagoff manna from heaven. I mean, this guy knows how to play it.
You have to wonder if there's a conspiracy involved. You have to wonder.
It was really tight.
It's too perfect.
Late vote for Joe Biden for not running for president. It's high time we got a Syracuse guy in the White House, and now he's not going to. He's letting me down.
Joe Biden is so crazy old guy, and I love it.
Did he give a Ditka fart after the announcing he was out?
No, Bob McLaughlin, my former cohort over at the X, tweeted out Ditka's reaction to the news that Joe Biden would not be running. It's just the fart. It's the fart gif.
You know what the sad part about that is? That means there'll be no more clips with Jimmy Fallon making fun of the Joe Biden photobombs. No more of those. That actually is a sad thing for me. That was one of my faves.
I guess Joe Torre finished fifth. Actually, I forgot about him. He was
well. See, I don't. I just throw out who I vote for. I don't campaign like Tim does because I don't care. You don't have to vote for my guy.
I don't care. This is your whole livelihood.
No,
this
it isn't.
It's your baby.
I love the discussion of it. I love bringing up the topics, but I'm not bringing sound in every week and saying, vote for my guy. Tim gets old man out of shape, and vote for my guy. I can't believe my guy's not getting votes. I don't care.
Guy Junker, man of the people.
I don't care. I just love the fact that people are pointing out.
You probably pocket 50%
of
the profits.
Yeah.
That's right. I probably.
Where's this money?
Jagoffoftheweek.org.
Guy's doing a public service by alerting all the Jagoffs of the world. Man of the people.
No wonder you can afford so much Duffy's beer at duffysbeer.com. Much more in Pleasant Hills.
Oh, wait, hold on. Good tweet here from Scott who says we've got a major, major problem here. I thought that once you become Jagoff of the Week emeritus, you're not eligible to re-win again.
Oh, no.
Discrepancy here.
Is Tortorella Jagoff of the Week emeritus?
I thought he had emeritus status. Is that true?
Well, he does, but he can still win and pass.
Yeah, but if you're a professor emeritus and you get hired again to teach.
You can still teach.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can come out of retirement like Lemieux, you know? That's what Torch did here.
There's Jagoff of the Week retirement.
I got one pirate on this date in history today that I have to mention because it broke my heart at the time.
Was it in Biff's Almanac or the...
1969, Dave Justy, Dave Ricketts, and outfielder Frank Vanzen are picked up from the Cardinals in a trade for Carl Taylor, number 44, my favorite player in 1969. I got over it quickly, though, when Justy developed the palm ball and helped the Pirates win five of the next six divisions as their closer.
Wow.
What was he making in arbitration?
It was 1969, Kenneth. First year of the baseball playoffs.
Hmm. All right. First year of the baseball playoffs.
Yep.
Wow.
Braves and Mets in the National League, Twins and Orioles in the American League.
What famed pirate killer in the postseason that didn't quite kill them, but probably should have killed them, turned 87 today?
87.
Terry Pendleton.
No, he's
Whitey
90.
Ford.
There you go. Good call. Good call.
Whitey Ford.
Shut him out twice in the
two shutouts in the 1960 World Series. However,
and the reason
and they didn't
that
pitch
Casey
him.
Stengel lost his job because he didn't start the opener. No, he didn't
start
game
the opener.
One.
Oh. If he started game one, that they could have stacked it so
game
he would
four and seven.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. But he was in the pen and they didn't bring him in game seven.
Art Dittmar started game one, and Art Dittmar was warming up in the bullpen when Bill Mazeroski homered, and when Budweiser did a commercial about great World Series moments, Chuck Thompson, the play-by-play guy, starts to say, Art Dittmar throwing, he was going to say throwing in the Yankee bullpen. He goes, if you listen to the whole clip, not just the, here's the swing and a high fly, he goes, Art Dittmar throwing, and here's a swing and a high fly ball, and Art Dittmar's family tried to sue Budweiser because it made it sound like Art Dittmar pitching. Gave up the home run. I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
I would too.
That is fantastic. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Each of the Pirates' losses in that series were like, what, six runs or more, some ridiculous number?
I think it was 10-0, 16-1, and 12-2. So, roughly.
So they were all double-digit losses.
Oh, crushed.
Wow. 16-3. Bob Turley won that one. Bob Friend lost it. So 16-3 in game two. It was 10-0 in game three. Then they won game four, 3-2. Game five was 5-2 in favor of Pittsburgh. And then the other Whitey four game was 12-0. Yes, 12-0, 10-0, and 16-3.
They lost all three of those games by double digits. My God.
And wow. Whitey Ford only pitched in game three and game six.
Wow.
What a weird series.
You can't root for New York this year, can you?
Whitey
the Mets
Ford,
get past the Cubs.
I said Dodgers and Royals to start it out, so at least I got one left.
I'm serious about that. I want to see when the Cubs get eliminated, how all the national posers who pretended to be lifelong Cub fans when they beat the Cardinals, how do they react now? Is everybody a Mets fan?
Oh, they'll be in mourning.
They're all Mets fans.
They'll be in mourning for the Cubs first.
And this all great. I hate when people do that. I hate when people get on Twitter and just put out something they have absolutely no attachment to whatsoever just to get retweets and favorites. It just pisses me off.
If they come back from 3-0, God, I couldn't take it. What if they come back, you know, same as the Red Sox did with what's-his-name as their GM?
Then I'll know for sure that Theo Epstein is a dark wizard like Tom Izzo.
Oh, God, the fawning over that team. If they would come back from 3-0, would just be insufferable.
The fix will be in for certain.
All right, guy. See you tomorrow.
Sounds good. No games tonight locally, huh? Pens are off.
Nothing local.
Nothing really big going on.
Could root against the Flyers tonight on national TV if you care to.
Columbus playing? Root against Tortorella.
Yeah, when's Tortorella make his debut?
I think there's four games tonight.
There's another team that was cursed by a porn star. The Flyers.
Gina
Lynn.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if that was cursed, maybe. Might have been just herpes.
Well, then there was the one. Well, then there was the one
Penguins
player
got
that
mumps,
kept.
Flyers got herpes.
Then there was the one player that kept harassing Lisa Ann, too. So there's at least Ann time with the Flyers.
Yeah.
Remember the one that kept harassing her about like trying to hook him up with her friends
right,
or whatever?
And then she aired him out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
She blew him up on Twitter.
Who was that? Braden Coburn?
That's a good question.
Look that one up. That's another curse of Lisa Ann moment there.
Everyday Eddie Volquez goes for the clincher today at Rogers Center, 4 p.m.
I like
Bucko.
Him. He's a good, happy soul. I like Ed.
He's a good guy.
Don Cherry will let you know everything is fine with the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't know if you saw that tweet from Cherry yesterday.
Michael Delzotto.
Michael Delzotto, that's who it was, right, yeah. But Cherry was tweeting out that it's much better to lose 14-2 than it is to lose 3-2. I'd rather get blown out than lose a one-goal game.
It worked for the 60 Pirates.
It's true. That's what we were just talking about. Mets, the Cubs, 8 p.m. tonight.
It's just right. Start throwing beer again. That seemed to work the last time.
Tim's chat with Marc-Andre Fleury coming up next. It's the Giovanni's Pizza Hour at ilovegiovannis.com. We'll finish up with a little Penns talk today, getting into the college football show at the top of the hour.
Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, located on 6th Street in downtown Pittsburgh. Fast and free delivery. Give them a call at 412-281-7060. Lunch specials starting at just $7.49 with selections including small grilled chicken salad, a bowl of soup, two cuts of pizza and a small garden salad, penne pasta, garlic bread, and a small salad. half a hoagie and french fries or half a hoagie and a can of pop. That's 412-281-7060. You can even order online. Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta in downtown Pittsburgh and online at ilovegiovannis.com. Duffy's Beer and Much More in Pleasant Hills, 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. And get your pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. Your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and Much More in Pleasant Hills and online at duffysbeer.com.
The noon lunch hour on Trib Live Radio is brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, delivering the finest in Italian cuisine at impeccable pricing. Named the official pizza of downtown Pittsburgh by the Pittsburgh Downtown Community Development Corporation. Call Giovanni's at 412-281-7060 or find them at ilovegiovannis.com.
Got a bunch of emails today after Rob Rossi's appearance saying, boy, I hate to admit it, I agree with Rossi, dot, dot, dot. I love when people... Rossi says something that hits home and it's like,
wait, what?
I guess he's right.
Wait, what? What? Huh?
We'll get through a couple of them. I know.
Are we in Narnia?
Ken, Tim, and Josh Taylor along here for the Giovanni's Pizza Noon Hour. This one says, I agree with Rossi on one point. The Penguins' offensive zone work is not good. They don't get quality shots, just a large quantity of perimeter shots. And I'm wondering if Perron came in like a house of fire last year because he wasn't overly indoctrinated with Johnston's philosophy. He's gotten worse since. I think he's teaching a great defensive responsibility to forwards, but he lacks O-zone scheme. You guys see that at all? Is like so worried about D.
Well, you brought that up on a number of occasions, and I think there's something to that, and I keep defaulting back to my normal explanation, which is if you have this much offensive talent, you should be able to score while committing more to defense because the volume of shots needed for you to score, in theory, shouldn't be as high because you are so skilled, you can do it, allegedly, with less shots,
yeah,
right?
Shot quality would be better in theory.
Ryan says Rossi's dead right about Malkin killing penalties. He's a huge threat, and he'll lead to some shorties, just like Lemieux circa 1988 before he stopped caring.
did my eyes deceive me, or did we see Sid killing penalties last night? We saw
him. He's been killing them all year.
Yeah. I mean, and a pretty good shift on the PK, too. So.
Well, that's when he was falling around Jager. During the power play or right after the power play ended is when he was dogging them late in the third.
And they got into a shouting match at one point from the benches.
Ryan says, Ken, are you nuts? The hallmark of the last Bylsma 5 years was that they would come out and waste their energy in the first period, score one or no goals, and get blitzed in the third. That happened every game. Nothing has changed here. Is that true? You know what you remember as well? I sort of remember Bylsma's teams having a better comeback record and a better third period record.
They certainly did, especially the team without Sid and Gino used to come back. Remember, they would scratch back and get a point and then lose it in overtime? Like they'd all lose their points in overtime after they would come back.
The replace pens.
Hey, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt the emails here for some breaking news. We have excerpts of the Ray Lewis book.
Oh, my
God.
And I'm going to steal from my former colleague, Jerry Thornton.
God, no.
You know, one thing that Patriots fans and Steeler fans have in common is a hatred for the Ravens. Similarly, the one thing that Steeler fans and Ravens fans have in common is a hatred for the Patriots. But play along, okay? This is a little clip that Jerry pulled out. And as he points out, the first rule of thumb, when writing a book, one should have first read one. And I think Ray might have violated that here. But here we go. This is Ray's explanation to how he could not have been part of that murder back in 2000. Quote, remember, I was dressed out. I had my jewelry on. One fine mink coat. I wasn't about to start mixing it up looking like that. That's the general rule of thumb when you're doing the town and looking good. The nicer you're dressed, the less inclined you are to get into a fight if you're inclined to begin that way. Dude dresses like that, he's not looking for a fight. How I was dressed, it made no sense with what went down. Those shots being fired, all that. Forget what kind of statement my clothes might have made. Forget that I might have been a little loud or over the top. Point is, when you're dressed like that, You're off to the sidelines, and here were these gangbangers stepping out to us from the shadows, looking to make trouble, but it was trouble we drove right past. How would that, Your Honor, he had a mink coat on. Now,
right.
I would point,
the glove didn't fit, Your Honor.
I would point out to Ray that in every gangster movie I've ever seen, they're always wearing suits when they kill each other. Everybody's well-dressed when they kill each other in the gangster movies.
2 points. One, you can't consider it to be trouble you drove past if one of the guys ended up dead. You clearly didn't drive past it. Maybe you drove over it, but not past it. Two, the last ex-football player who wrote a book about being accused of a murder or stabbing was involved in trying to explain it away ended up in jail again anyway. His name was O.J. Simpson. Bad move, Ray Lewis. Remember O.J. Simpson wrote that book, If I Did It?
Yeah.
Didn't you figure it out from that example? Maybe you should not say anything?
I'm sure the members of the jury will be understanding, though. Oh, he was wearing nice clothes. Oh, that's great excuse. That's a great point, Ray.
He had a mink coat on, so he
had the mink coat on. Oh, you're right. You're right. I didn't think of that.
It'd be different if he wrote that chapter about how it affected his life and how it scared the hell out of him and convinced him to change his ways and it made him a better person. No, you got to try to explain away how you didn't do it.
However, if Brady had said, how am I going to break my own phone? I was wearing a mink coat at the time. Thornton and everybody else in New England would be saying, well, that makes sense.
He goes, how am I going to break my phone? I couldn't step on it because I was wearing Uggs at the time.
Sean emails about the Patriots. He didn't get his vote in at the time, but he said, did you guys see Ian O'Connor on ESPN wrote about how Tomlin had a post-game meltdown after the Patriots game pertaining to the headsets? That didn't happen. Just another Patriots reporter distorting what happened to make the Patriots look good.
Well, he's not a Patriots reporter.
He kept trying to say how he wanted to talk about what happened during the game. How is that a meltdown?
Yeah, that's carrying water for the Patriots, but he's not a Patriots reporter.
Ugh.
He whined about it. Meltdown's too strong.
But if you're asked about it, I mean, now here's the thing. Now, if he gets asked about it and he doesn't answer the question, then he's being standoffish about it and he's being Tomlin. But since he answered the question, he's whining. I keep telling people, that man cannot win, regardless of what he says or does not say. He can't win.
Where O'Connor is just over the top morphing the evidence or misrepresenting what really went down is where he got the most agitated is when people kept pressing him about the headsets. That's when he had the meltdown. That's when he said, guys, I want to talk about what happened on that field right there.
Yeah, he wanted to stop.
And that's not a meltdown. That's him trying to kill it, which I give him more credit for than actually melting down. It's not like he went Danny Green on the whole deal. It's not like he went Herm Edwards on the whole deal. It's not like he went, come at me, I'm a man, I'm 40, like Mike Gundy on the whole deal. He was trying to kill the line of
questions. It always happens up there. That was the big thing.
It wasn't even Bill Cowher. Give me some proof. Give me a quote. Put a name to it.
Sean says, also, I'd like to note that hoverboard manufacturers, I can't tell you how many times I've run out to get a Pepsi Perfect and Pizza Hut to rehydrate, and I've hit a puddle and the board dies. Thank you, Sean, here on Back to the Future 2, Future Day. Also, Tim wanted to point out that he did some research going back to 2005, guys. No Steeler kicker had 347-plus yard field goals in one game.
Wow. Right. Wow.
Swisham had a 4 field goal game at Buffalo, but he averaged 45 yards per. Reed had 4 in a game in Buffalo that averaged 33 yards per. So
yeah,
this is
that's
the
Swisham
best kicking
game.
Performance in 10 years, according to
as
Tim.
As far as distance and volume, yeah.
That was the Swisham game I was trying to remember. Who was it against again? You said Buffalo? He had the 4? What was that?
He said Swisham, at Buffalo.
At Buffalo, okay.
Wow.
Reed also against Buffalo in 07. Take his word for it. Good research from Tim. And one from Mike in Scranton. He says, does Antonio Brown have a PR agent? He changed his tune last year pretty quick with his holdout and his contract demands. He's got to know that he's not coming across looking very good by the way he's acting. Just wondering if he's got somebody telling him in his ear that he's being a Jagoff.
No, the thing is, the guy who's in his ear is the Jagoff. His name is Drew Rosenhaus.
I wonder, Rosenhaus can't approve of the way in which he's got headlines the last week, right?
Why?
That's not going to help him at all.
Do you remember the whole T.O. debacle doing sit-ups in his driveway? You put that past this man? I don't.
So he's of the any publicity, good publicity?
He might as well be Jerry Jones' long-lost nephew. Let's stop playing. They're probably in the strip club together making it rain.
It makes him look like a problem, though. I mean, a team that's going to sign him 3 or 4 years from now would be dissuaded to sign him because of this.
You'd figure Antonio Brown would have started reading the Cam Hayward playbook a long time ago. Cam Hayward said, it's not up to me. It's up to my agent. I'm playing football. And he did that all last year.
He knew he was getting paid.
Well, here's the thing. But at least he kept his mouth shut because he knew he was getting paid. Antonio Brown, if he just kept his mouth shut playing football and realized you're going to get paid either way, would probably be fine. But he, for some odd reason, just refuses to do that. So, hey, you make your bet, you lie in it.
Also, Luke with a good point. He says, if both teams clinch today in the baseball playoffs and the World Series is set, why can't they start Saturday instead of having to wait till next Tuesday?
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. Get this over with. Get it done. I agree.
It'll be a long wait. All right, Benzie, where are you going, brand X, Y, or Z today? Where are we heading?
I'm just heading over. Well, no, I take that back. I got two things today. I got Steelers practice today, so I'll go over and get some interviews there. Maybe talk to the great Alejandro Villanueva about the first time he saw Mike Tomlin.
Get him to admit he did something well. Get him to admit one thing he did well, because
I was just looking across that field, and I saw a man with a stern, austere look during the national anthem, looking at his third-string quarterback, saying this bum is never going to play in a game for me. Why did Colbert saddle me with this fourth-round pick? So I'm going to interview a couple Steelers today, and then I've got Labriola and Wolfley with me at Redbeard's on 6th downtown. So if people want to stop by for
Ben's V Labs.
Kickoff. Yeah.
That's the best rivalry outside of Pitt-Penn State in town.
Yeah, because I'm going to bring up the whole Tomlin selective amnesia thing, and I'm sure Labs will rush to his defense on this one. Because
very good.
How did Tomlin do, by the way? Where did he finish?
Well, he was tied for second.
Torts,
four-way tie.
Tomlin, Torrey.
Antonio Brown, Tomlin, and Chuck Pagano.
Oh, okay.
And Torrey, all in second.
But Torts won it.
Torts our winner.
All right.
It's a hell of a 50s group, A, B, and the T.O.'s.